Back at the Pleasant Street Tea Company now with Heather Atwood. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, and Heather just returned from Music Central.
The Southern Tour, yep.
So we're
through starting in Nashville, going down to Florence, Alabama, Muscle Shoals, Alabama, Oxford, Mississippi, where William Faulkner's home is, and then Memphis, and then back to Nashville.
I think of all the stories we talked about in our pregame warm-up here about the music, they were all fascinating. But the most fascinating thing I think that's appropriate to discuss, especially this time of year, is the Civil Rights Museum, because that is a great story, and I didn't know about that. So tell me about it.
Oh, it is really amazing. And I honestly believe that every American should be required to visit this Civil Rights Museum. My husband and I were walking through the streets of Memphis at dusk. We were looking for a barbecue place. We were on kind of an empty street. It was very quiet in this neighborhood. I looked ahead, and I saw a dark building, totally dark building, with a neon vertical sign hanging on the corner that said the Lorraine Hotel. And I was not buffed up on my history, and we kept walking. And I'm like, that's a really funny building. It's just empty, but the neon sign is so well lit. Behind the Lorraine Hotel was the Lorraine Motel, this 1950s-ish structure. And it was not until I saw that and I saw the wreath on the balcony and the two white Buicks parked underneath that we gasped and said, this is it. This is where Martin Luther King was assassinated.
And as you're describing that, I see your eyes welling up.
Yeah, no, it was so moving.
Yeah.
And as I said, the museum was closed. And in fact, it was so discreetly put together, this Civil Rights Museum, that hotel is actually the museum. There's a very discreet door. You enter into the hotel there, and inside is this amazing journey that starts with slavery and, as they describe, the largest forced migration on Earth, the Civil War, Reconstruction, Jim Crow, the Freedom Marches. And this whole journey, which is really involved, it takes hours to get through this, the whole journey ends inside Martin Luther King's motel room. So it finishes, you're standing there, and then you can see and there's lots of script about what he was thinking, what was going on there. He was there to support the sanitation workers on strike, and who he just had a conversation with. So you just feel every minute of it. At the same time, across the street, they have preserved the boarding house. So that's a whole separate museum that you can enter. And you explore everything that was going on there. You see the dinginess of this boarding house room, the bathroom where he stood, and then you see the straight line over to the balcony. It is really such a moving, moving place.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I had no idea, and definitely have to look that up. Let's get a little closer to home now and a little uplifting. We got to do our top 50 countdown for best dishes. But before we do that, you have a new venture that you're getting into besides your own website and the story behind the recipe and all that. So what's in the future?
Well, this is more stories behind the stories. So I finished doing the MidPod podcast, which is about the 2018 congressional midterm elections. We all know that, and traveling around the country. And I'm back on Cape Ann thinking, I'd like to do somehow combine my interest in food and food history and the stories behind foods with somehow the work I was doing with the MidPod. So mm-hmm. I thought I would like to do, whether it's a podcast or a video, stories about the traditional foods that are on Cape Ann and the North Shore, but really to talk about not necessarily that they are here, but why they're here. Why are they being made here? And are we still going to make them? And what does that say about who we are if we've stopped these traditions? And what does it say about who we are if we continue these traditions? So,
So
I went to Studio 1623, and I pitched this idea, and they said right away, oh, this is video, because it is so beautiful, mm-hmm. All these images. So we've shot two of them. I'm not going to tell you which ones yet.
Okay.
And they're in the editing process, but they should be released pretty soon. And we're going to work on a whole series of these things. Yeah.
Well, this will coincide with Gloucester 400, too, I'm sure.
Yes, it is. And there's more to say about that, but I will save that.
Okay? All right. And you got to make sure you send a link so that we can link to the Gloucester cable. Okay, so let's I had one other question, but I lost it, so let's go to the countdown.
Okay.
Oh, I know. Before we go to the countdown,
yeah.
This weekend coincides with Passover and Easter, and menu? What do you have to do two meals?
Well, no, fortunately I don't. My husband is Jewish, so we are having a Seder this year. We're kind of like all over the map. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we do have Easter, sometimes we don't have Easter. So we're going to my cousin's house for Easter, and my cousin's coming to our house for the Seder.
Oh, awesome.
So,
that
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
We did that once a long time ago. Our parish priest hosted a Seder meal with a Jewish family and explained everything to us, and it was absolutely amazing, and it's something that, you know, I'm glad we shared and so on. I can't eat the two meals, so.
it's definitely okay. Different. But I do love Passover because it is, being just like a Unitarian kind of person, there's nothing, I've never experienced religion that is so literal. Mm-hmm. And this is such a literal story. You know, you dip the parsley in the salted water because the parsley represents new life and the salted water represents the tears that the Jews, you know, shed. Mm-hmm. And the horosis literally represents the mortar that was between the bricks when they were working, that they were, you know, it's just, there's so many symbols that are really, really nice.
And that's something that's important not to lose, as you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Keep that kind of thing going. Okay, let's get to our countdown.
Okay, so we have on CNN's list of the top 50 favorite foods, we are at number 14 and 13. And I'm a little bit surprised that 14 comes ahead of 13. The 13 is more popular than 14.
Right.
14 is apple pie. Now, there are a lot of question marks about why apple pie is considered so American.
Mm-hmm.
And people, food historians, don't really seem to know why.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact that apples are not native to this country. And in fact, the place where apples started in the entire world is Kazakhstan.
No
the
way.
Yes, the first.
No, you made that up.
No, I did not. The original apple trees.
No way.
Yeah, I am not kidding you.
Nope.
You look it up. Kazakhstan. That is where apples come from.
I've trusted you up to this point.
Not kidding. And there are actually some original groves left, and they call them groves in Kazakhstan because they are wild apples. But unfortunately, it's like every pretty place on earth, they're getting chopped down for development.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a world, you know, that World Heritage Organization was trying to save these the original apple trees.
Okay.
So anyway.
So how did we get as American as apple pie? How did that come
about? Nobody really knows. That's just it. I mean, Johnny Appleseed actually really did come
Maybe
through
that's
here.
It, yeah.
It might be it that his story has lasted. But so anyway, apple pie is still very popular. I think it's hard to make a really good apple pie. I have a recipe, and I cook the apples a little bit first because otherwise they end up raw, and you end up with doughy pastry and raw apples. That happens a lot in apple pie. You like apple pie.
And I like the raw apples, yeah.
Oh, you do? You like them raw?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So who makes your favorite apple pie?
Oh, boy. Put me on the spot. My lovely wife, Martha, makes a very special apple pie, and her daughter, Jennifer, also makes a very special apple pie. They're both different, and they're both awesome.
We need Martha and her daughter's recipes.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. I want that.
Okay.
Okay. Number 13 is really interesting. It's Frito pie. Now, remember, 13 is more popular than 14. So Frito pie trumps.
I've never heard of Frito pie, by the way.
I have heard of this, but I would never have guessed it trumped apple pie.
No.
So what you do is you go into your local 7-Eleven, and you buy a little bag of Fritos, the little lunch bag, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you get their chili, because you usually have a thing of chili. You open the bag, scoop some chili on top of the Fritos, and do some melted cheese on top of that.
Ah, okay.
Or the cheese, the pump, the pump cheese stuff.
I get you.
And you eat it right out of the bag.
I remember now, I think when I lived down south, I remember that. And what they did was you'd have the chili and sprinkle the Fritos on top of it. That's what we did. And then, I just remember
that.
Makes
it more pie than this is more like nachos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's all I got for number 13.
That's cool.
And
cool.
I haven't had it. Have you ever had it?
No.
You wouldn't
except,
chili.
No, I'm not crazy about chili at
yeah.
all. No. Anything hotter than salt, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
All right, that is Heather Atwood. We'll resume this, the story behind the story with Heather. And don't forget, join us here on MSO News Sports.